Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. A listener and friend has asked me to comment on how we can unite. Unite the race aware and the enemy aware, and unite our people. I agree that in the long term, this is a desirable and necessary goal. At the same time, I have to deplore the impression made by most movement unity events and the like. They strongly and uncomfortably resemble the ragtag, unfocused, and largely self-contradictory random collection of groups and individuals assembled in front of the occupied Capitol on 6 January 2021. That kind of floundering, disparate, multiplex array of foggy awareness, crankiness, and occasional courage can also be seen in white unity conclaves. Think Charlottesville, 2017. Some such gatherings make a better impression than that, of course, but only by one order of magnitude, perhaps, if that. The same fractured ideologies and worldviews and strategies and even cultural practices are there, seeping out around the edges, even when they aren't front and center. Think every David Duke conference. Think every AMRAN conference. Think of the meetings of the Mountain Church and Aryan Nations that Dr. Pierce attended as a guest speaker in the 1980s and 1990s. It might seem paradoxical, but we see a lot more unity at meetings and projects run by one organization with one leader than we do at self-styled movement or unity meetings. But it's not paradoxical. It's natural. It's to be expected. When we see, for example, Nordic resistance movement activists in Scandinavia hold a public action, we see men with a certain degree of physical training, men with a common goal, disciplined to the extent that almost their every move on the street and in their interactions with the public is planned in advance and coordinated. We see marchers, though they wear no actual uniform, who have absolutely uniform clothing, uniform symbology, literature, signs, leaflets, and/or banners, who are uniformly well-groomed and well-dressed. There are no disparate, jarring differences in the way they look or the things they communicate. They are on point, on message, all the time. That's unity. Likewise, National Alliance meetings and work sessions are gatherings of people who have accepted National Alliance ideology, National Alliance goals, and National Alliance rules and values as their own. They're part of something, one thing, that is larger than themselves. They're part of a living community, too, a real-world community of single men and women, of wives and husbands and families, a real-world community with its own spirituality and its own values and goals, a community started by William Pierce in 1970, and which is still building for the future in 2021. Such a community is bound to be far more united and far more focused on common goals than a random collection of pro-whites who might have 15 different ideologies, 15 different visions of what the future should be like, and as many differing symbologies, leaders, and ideas of how we should move forward, many of which are absolutely contradictory. Many have been those who have said that our focus in the National Alliance is too narrow. Our ideology too hard to sell to the majority. They've advised us that in the cause of unity and of getting more members faster, we should take a big tent approach and drop all of those things that average whites, even racially conscious ones, find difficult to understand or accept. We should, they say, stop telling the truth about Hitler and National Socialism, for example, and couch everything we say in terms of the U.S. Constitution or the like. We should stop educating our people about the evolutionary nature of life and of the universe, and why that must be the spiritual basis of our struggle. And, they say, we should instead embrace, or at least give lip service to, some vision or version of the Hebrew Scriptures. We should stop telling the truth about the crooked Jewish conglomeration of scams and tyranny that is modern capitalism, and instead pretend, like the conservatives, that it is free enterprise and to be praised. A few even suggest that we should downplay the Jewish role in our dispossession and looming genocide, and abandon our plans for a whole new society, and instead just try to convince our executioners and their owned politicians to be more reasonable with us. It's possible that these things could get us a higher membership sign-up rate. In Dr. Pierce's final years, he tried to incorporate quite a few people from the skinhead and white power music scenes into the alliance, and many of these were good, sincere people. He believed that they could be educated and changed by the alliance. But the numbers of these people were too great, and their education was neglected. Several ambitious newcomers saw their way to fame as Dr. Pierce was fading during his final illness, through watering down and ultimately abandoning Dr. Pierce's spiritual vision. Instead of the alliance changing them, they started to change the alliance. After Dr. Pierce died, the wrong people were placed in leadership roles, and the best people were forced out. After that, what was left of the alliance, in an effort to gain quickly in numbers, became just another pro-white group. Its unique vision was abandoned. Maybe there was a temporary surge in numbers, I do not know. But after a decade of the big tent, those who were devoted to Dr. Pierce's vision were discouraged or disgusted and had just about all left. And most of the new recruits, skinheads of limited understanding or big tenters of one kind or another, were doing what they always do, flitting from movement star to movement star, from one ideology or religious sect to another, from newsletter or website king to clever alt-right humorist, and back again. And just about all of them had left the Big Tent Alliance after a few weeks or months, once they found something that was, temporarily at least, more exciting and fun. The end result was that the alliance collapsed. I thank the fates that it was rescued and put on the Piercean path once again by Will Williams. Now we're publishing books again, adding to our cosmotheist spiritual legacy, building a much bigger media audience, buying properties, building a warehouse, breaking ground for our William Pierce Library and Research Center, solemnizing marriages, bringing children into the world and into our community. That's being noticed. It's being noticed by the right kind of people, people who can really contribute to the future we're building, people who will inspire even more confidence in others in the months and years ahead. All of that was achieved by putting into practice unity, but not the false and very temporary unity you get when you chase numbers. Instead, it is the true unity of purpose and dedication that leads to success and sustainable organic growth. When you have to ask for help just to become viable, and we do now, you have to be super selective. You have to create unity through one-on-one enlightenment and significant selectivity, even if that means slower growth. Later, when you are past the threshold of viability and you actually control some territory, then you can build unity much faster through universal education and acculturation. But we're not there yet, and it's very foolish to pretend that we are. Now, I am not saying that there is no use for pro-white conferences. There is. Connecting with excellent people and educating them about what we're doing and why it's the only way to win long-term can be very valuable. I'm not saying that single-issue front groups focused on, say, getting rid of drag queen storytime abominations, or defeating an odious gun law, or stopping the teaching of critical race theory can't be useful. They can, if they're done with the idea of bringing the best and most talented people encountered into our orbit and ultimately our community. And I am not saying that we can't have genuine cooperation and friendship with people with a somewhat different ideology or approach or a somewhat lower level of understanding. We can, and we have, and we will in the future. Ultimately, we're going to want to share a whole country with such people. You can't order people to have a new understanding or a spiritual renewal. White people don't work that way. Every Aryan man and woman must do that via his or her own path. That's the kind of creatures we are. Society writ large moves slowly. Moving our folk toward the proper degree of ideological and spiritual unity is a very long-term goal. But where we need unity now, true unity, is at the highest level in our community. That's the key to achieving a much larger, nationwide, and ultimately race-wide unity in the future. That's the key to having a viable organization and a viable community that teaches its values to the next generation and integrates them into the community. With those values and that vision undimmed and without confusion. That's an organization and a community that can span generations. Once we can span generations, once our one purpose can be passed from one generation to the next perfectly intact and without compromise, then our growth really means something. Then we can switch our focus from becoming a viable organization and community to affecting the world around us, politically, socially, economically, and in every other way. Then we can assume a role of leadership over a significant part of this earth and put our unshakable principles into action on a much larger scale. Then we can be in charge of our people's enlightenment and education, from kindergarten to university, from newspapers to films, from the visual arts to literature, and in every other way. Then we can prove to our folk that our way is nature's way, the Creator's way, the only way that assures our survival and progress. And we can put millions, instead of the present thousands, on a path of spiritual and racial awakening. Then we can possess a military capability to defend our folk and our truth. Then our example will be seen by every single man or woman of European descent, even by those in countries still occupied and ruled by the Jew. And millions more white people will choose life instead of death. That's the unity the men and women of the National Alliance are working for and living for. That's what I'm working for and living for. That's the unity that my family is working for and living for, and I hope you will join us.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life just like here could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies the Aborigines of Australia, everybody, send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.